You're listening to Grassroots, www.innovationstudios.com. I am Marcus, but you already knew that because you've had 42 opportunities to hear my dulcet tones going through the Q&As over the last 3 years, I might add, some of which we were stuck behind our closed, locked doors, occasionally just peering our heads out the front door to applaud the NHS. Don't get me started on that one. Anyway, look, it's nice to be back. And I was back last week and I'm back again this week. I keep coming back. I am Boomerang Brown. So anyway, I've had a good week. I hope you have too. The sun's shining, or it's been shining, which means the first cut of the year of the grass. My God, it was about a foot and a half tall. And here I am. And unlike most men out there, most people out there, you look at it and you go, yeah, I just put the mower on the lowest setting and try and rip everything up at the roots. And then you learn the hard way that that isn't how it happens. So you're better off putting it on the highest setting, zip it over, and then middle setting, zip it over, and then lowest setting, zip it over, and you're done. As long as you keep an eye on it and don't let it get out of control, then you'll be okay. But anyway, look, I ain't here to tell you about gardening. This is about grassroots music, and it's aimed at the people who are your bedroom musicians and your people who are playing the dog and duck or the flying goose. I'm trying to think of other strange names for pubs, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. There is a street actually in, I think it's in Staffordshire, and at one end you've got the King's Arms, at the other end you've got the King's Head, and in the middle of it you've got the Royal Cock. And I was thinking to myself, how did this bloke die? Anyway, let's get to the questions that you have for me that you've been sending me in. Some of them are ones that you've been sending me over the last 7 or 8 months whilst I've been not bothering to even contact you, but just sat about doing other things and not bothering to take care of my loyal fans like Gaz on my podcast. Hello, Gaz, if you're driving back from work, mate. Thanks for your friendship, first of all, but thanks for your text messages saying, oh, it was really great to have your podcast back. Oh, it's because you're one of the only people who listens to it. You and the other few hundred. So let's get to your questions. The first question comes from, let me have a look through, Matt. Are there any words that cannot rhyme? Come on, Matt, you know that. Oh, there you go. This fat cat's telling Matt about that. Are there any words that cannot rhyme? Well, orange, purple, but there are the thing with that, right, is that sometimes you can put rhymes where they don't need to be. We've talked about this before, Matt. Where were you? Why haven't you listened to the other episodes? That sometimes when you're trying to write a song, you can rhyme something in all different places. It doesn't have to be like a limerick. There was a young man from Newcastle who could wrap himself up like a parcel. It can be... if you think about some of the things, it's not always an obvious rhyme. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder why I feel like going under. You can put like a rhyme where it doesn't need to be. So when it comes to words that don't rhyme, of course there are songs with purple in. There are songs with orange in. And the other thing as well is that, you know, there are some... Here's one for you. Here's one for you. There are songs that, depending on the accent, you can rhyme a word. So, on Bob the Builder, Neil Morrissey sings, Travis and Spud, working together like good friends should. Because he said Spud. But if I say Spud, then working together like good friends should. Doesn't work. So it's one of those idiosyncrasies with the language. Spud, should. It's close enough. One of those strange. I never thought I'd ever get a mention of Neil Morrissey or Bob the Builder on my podcast, but that's something that I always pick up on. Years ago, Judi Dench used to sing the theme tune for A Fine Romance. Now, in America, they used to sing on A Fine Romance. They think we're like a couple of... I think we're like a couple of ripe tomatoes, but we're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes, right? But Judy used to sing, and it's there on UK Gold and all that. They think we're like a couple of ripe tomatoes, but we're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes. and she was making it rhyme when it didn't rhyme. Now, I'm not going to knock Judi Dench. She's earned more money in her career than I'm ever going to imagine. I don't even think I've seen that much money, you know. But it was just, whether it was a deliberate thing, I don't know. But it was one of those things. In America, it worked, tomatoes and potatoes. But over here, tomatoes and potatoes, it didn't work. So sometimes, depending on an accent, you can make something work that otherwise wouldn't work, Matt. And, you know, when you're writing songs, you don't have to put the rhyme in the obvious place all the time. Sometimes it's nice to have fried rice thrice. You don't have to have the rhyme in the same place every single time. Or rhyme all the time. See, you can put it wherever you want. There are different rhythms within that song. Or a song. Doesn't always have to be the way. But so even the words that don't always rhyme, sometimes you can find a way of making them rhyme. It's one of those strange things. I'll never be able to understand it, let alone talk about it. But even if nothing else, I've made you go and listen to Bob the Builder, and I've made you go and listen to the intro to A Fine Romance, which was a great little sitcom in the 80s. So yeah, my job, my work here is done, people. Need help setting up your own home studio? Why not book a consultation online? Here at Innovation Studios, we can help and advise on the best equipment for you, your ideas, your budget, and your space. Maybe even book a home visit. We can help you set up, install, and use your software, offering a recording workshop in your very own studio in your very own home, going through techniques and offering advice and guidance to get you up and running. Go to www.innovationstudios.com for further information. I'm having a great time doing this again. I don't know why, but I really am. Let's have a little look here. Here we go. Linda, what happens when band's mates don't get on? They fight, Linda. they fight. Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're in a band where bandmates don't get on, everybody has to remember that you are there for the music. I'm sure that every single person at school has teachers that you just don't like. It doesn't matter what they say, you just hate them. And for a varying number of reasons. But if you listen to them and you take in what they say, they're there to help you. And they're there for the good of your education and they're for the good of that. That you might not feel like that. And trust me, I didn't. Some of the teachers I had. But I just feel that sometimes you can keep band members apart in as much as you can have different social circles. You know, we in bands I'm in, there are, you know, there's five of us in the group and, you know, Steve and I go off and do our own thing and a couple of the other lads go off and do something. And, you know, we have different social circles, but we all come together under that one blanket. And we all snuggle in and get the job done, but that's kind of the blanket. I don't really know where I'm going with that. Just pretend that didn't happen, all right? But that's kind of what it's like. Everybody's there to play music in that group. And if you don't get on with somebody, there's plenty of footballers that don't get on, but they're there for the team. And there's plenty of cricket players that don't get on and maybe have different social circles. You know, Freddie had a different social circle to the rest of the members of Queen. But when it was those four people in a room, that is all that mattered. And sometimes the fact that they wouldn't get on or the fact that they might argue about stuff was because they both or they all cared passionately about the music. If your bandmates don't get on because they don't like the shoes that you're wearing, then fair enough. But ultimately, if you're there to do a job, you've both got to understand that the music is why you are together, not because you're wearing the, you know, Hush Puppies or Kickers, you know. Or so, yeah, sometimes there are personal issues away from the band that affect the band. Now, not in my case, but I've certainly heard plenty of stories about two or three members of the band all trying to, let's say, get hold of the female lead singer. And then there's all sorts of complications. Maybe there's a relationship within the band. and then the other member might sort of go, well, you two always gang up on me because you're married. So you have to remember that sometimes you have to keep music separate to life. You know, in my situation, I work with Cheryl a lot, sometimes doing some work. And we both know that we're not going to have an argument on the Friday night about the fact that I haven't mown the lawn. I keep getting back to that lawn. I've got to get it done. But we keep, you know, we might have an argument on a Friday night. You haven't done the lawn yet. You haven't cleared the shed yet. And then she's not going to turn around and say, you know, you haven't wiped up the shower. You don't wipe around the seat and you sounded crap at that gig, right? Because that's not the argument. That's a personal thing. If you're driving back from the gig and she'll just say, you sounded crap today at that gig. What's the matter? Did you not feel well? Were you not well? I go, no. And I might go, thanks. And I might tease her about it, but we don't keep the two very, very separate. And Steve and I do, you know, my brother. We're not so much years ago, but now, if we're both there to do a job, we might have a bit of a falling out. But ultimately, once it's time to go on stage, we are what we are when we've got our musical hats on. So if bandmates don't get on, it's good to have somebody in the middle as well. Sometimes there's usually somebody in the middle who can be a bit of a mediator, can see both sides, and can kind of keep them apart whilst finding a middle ground. Sometimes that's good. You don't want, you know, everybody offering everybody out. But sometimes it does happen that bandmates don't get on, or teammates don't get on in football, you know, or people in business don't get on. They clash about stuff, particularly if they're both people who run, they're running a successful business, but one might want to market a certain way and the other. But you've both got to work together for the good of that company, for the good of that output. If you realise that sometimes you've got to take a damn good look in the mirror and think, is the way that I'm behaving making a difference to everybody? Or is everybody being held back by the way that I'm behaving? You know, if you've got one member of the band that just doesn't want to do it and the others do, you think, well, at what point does the four or five people have to keep going along with this one person's opinion, otherwise they're going to leave? You'd rather they left. And then you get somebody else in who thought like you. And then that one person who doesn't want to do it has got to look at it and go, well, there must be a compromise. Maybe if I did a little bit more and they sort of met me in the middle, I'd do a bit more than I wanted to, but at least it would be a lot more straightforward. So bandmates don't always get on. And they don't have to be the best of mates to put on a good show either. You know, over the years, so many arguments. You read biographies about, you know, Mick and Keith. I'm sure they're great now, but they had times when they fell out. Francis and Rick from Status Quo, they had times when they fell out. I'm sure if you're in a band and you're living in each other's pockets like that, you're going to clash. But you have to remember that at 9 o'clock that evening or 8 o'clock that evening when it's time to go on stage, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you do the job. Pete and Roger from The Who. You know, when you see them on stage now, yeah, they're melancholy, they're older men now, they're enjoying their lives. But they used to clash about stuff. But when it came to 8 o'clock, walking out on stage, that was the reason that they were who they were and where they were, was because they were under the blanket of The Who. You're under the blanket of that name, that brand, that music. You don't need to get on. You just have to remember that when you don't get on, it isn't necessarily, or it's never going to affect the music. And also, everyone's got to just eat a bit of humble pie, swallow a bit of pride sometimes, and just go, do you know what? It really doesn't matter. Focus on the issues that matter as well, and let some of it go. But it's easier said than done. But if they keep clashing and keep clashing, get someone in the middle of them, talk, be adults about it, sit down, talk about it, iron out your creases, and get on with making music. That's the only advice I have on that. Innovation Studios hoodies, many colours and sizes available. Our logo proudly emblazoned on the front. The back can be personalised with your name or your nickname, or anything you want, as long as it isn't too shocking. Click to order online at www.innovationstudios.com. Lillian. Oh, what a beautiful name. My name was Lillian. Hi, Lillian. All right. Hi, Marcus. What's the easiest gig you've ever played? Oh, Lillian, I don't think I can tell you that because I'd be kind of playing it down a bit, wouldn't I? I'd be saying, well, you know, and then people pay me pretty decent money to go and play, so I can't. I suppose if I'm honest, the easiest gig that I've ever played, or the easiest gigs that I do play, there's just been one or two where you might turn up somewhere and they'll say to you, let's say they want you to do 2 45s in a pub and they're providing the PA acoustically. They want, you know, 2 45s in a pub, they're providing the PA. Wonderful. And you're on decent money for that as well. They're always easy. Easiest gigs ever played. Some of the day centres are lovely. They're just an hour singing some songs and people interacting. They're not that difficult. Some of the gigs where there's one or two where you get, there's been weddings. There's been one or two weddings where they've invited us to play for them and then they've had to have us on a certain time because everything is planned, as you can imagine, with it being a wedding or something like that, or maybe the way that everything's worked out, they will say, we need you to do a particular thing. Yes, and I was booked to play a wedding. What they wanted was they wanted somebody to just play an acoustic guitar for an hour whilst everybody had something to eat. Between the breakfast, the wedding breakfast and the meal, and in the evening when the DJ started, they wanted somebody to just strum an acoustic guitar just as background whilst everybody had a drink afterwards, after the meal. And they said, can you just do 6 till 7? Then the DJ goes on from 7 and we'll be done by about 5:30. So you can get in at 5:30, get set up, do 6 till 7. And I agreed a price, which was pretty decent money. I didn't stripe anybody up, but I said, this is what you want me to do. And what happened was, of course, the speeches overran and everybody got involved with it. And then the breakfast overran. There was a little bit of slow service. And I got on at 6:40. And they just said, can you just do 20 minutes until 7 and the DJ will take over? And I said, really? I said, yeah, we're just going to have a 20-minute break instead of an hour. Can you just do 20 minutes? And I did 20 minutes and still got paid the same. So that was a very, very easy gig, apart from the fact that it was in Suffolk. I had to get there and the travelling, but that was quite easy. And that happens quite a bit, actually. Sometimes at weddings, you might be booked to do something and then things overrun and all of a sudden they'll just say, can you just do an hour instead of 2 hours or an hour instead of an hour and a half? Because it's not your day, is it? It's the bride and groom's day. It's the bride's day, isn't it, lads? You know, we just turn up in the monkey suit and do the job, say a few words and we're married. But it is, it's their day. It's not about the Oasis tribute or it's not about us rocking and rolling. And if their speech is overrun and they want to do it the way they want to do it, who cares? I just did 20 minutes. I said, are you sure you don't want me to do any more? No, that's fine. The DJ take over. We can do the first dance at 7. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Quick goodbye. And I was out of there. So easiest gig ever played. Yeah, I got 300 quid for that. Yeah, I don't mind. But that was an easy gig for me. But some of the shows, you know, if you're used to turning up with a full band and everything, and then somebody will say to you a few years ago, just at the Basildon Festival, between the headline act and the act before, there was a stage changeover. And a friend of mine, Paul Brace, who used to run and organise all that sort of stuff, I haven't seen Paul in a while. If you're listening, Paul, and I hope you are, because I know you have, hi, mate, we must catch up. But he was part of the organisation, and I spoke to him in the afternoon. I was playing, Walter Wall played it in the afternoon, and he said, look, there's 20 minutes, 25 minutes slot there later on between the act, and then they've got to clear the stage and get the main act on, but we've got two stages. So would you go on stage two, which is still, you know, one of the main stages, and just do half an hour, 40 minutes of acoustic for them, just so people have got something to listen to, otherwise they might drift off, and I want people to watch the Blues Brothers tribute. I said, yeah. So I went and drove up, PO supplied, plugged my acoustic in, 1-2 on the microphone, did 35, 40 minutes of acoustic stuff, just chatting to the audience, and then handed over to the main act and walked backstage, got my money, and was home within 5 minutes. So, you know, sometimes there are nice gigs. Certainly off the top of my head, the easy gigs don't jump to the front. The really difficult ones do, but that wasn't your question. Thank you for your question, Ever. That was one of the easiest gigs I ever played, and I had fun doing it. Have you ever wanted your own song, your own walk-on music, your own jingle, maybe your own personalised wedding dance? Our team of professional songwriters at Innovation Studios have been composing jingles, original songs, parodies, walk-on themes and instrumentals for years and are ready to work with you to create the perfect music for you. From wrestling, darts and boxing intros to first dances for newlyweds, TV themes, chants and songs in any style with lyrics tailored exclusively to the team or individual. Have an original song written exclusively for that special person in your life, or celebrate a special occasion with the perfect song, written with your help and input to say everything that you want to say, creating an original and different memory that will live forever. All of our songs are royalty free and only a one-off payment is required. There aren't any hidden costs afterwards. Once the song or theme is written and recorded, it will be yours and yours alone. The only thing that we ask is that we can use part of it for promotional purposes afterwards. Contact our songwriting team at Innovation Studios for further information, www.innovationstudios.com. Lewis says, my son has formed a band and they're looking to do functions and stuff like that. Should they dress the same? Hi, Lewis. Well, there are two schools of thought on this. It's a very much an old school thing that bands would dress the same. But if they're looking to do functions and stuff like that, then they need to all be wearing a suit and all look smart if they're looking to do, you know, corporate stuff. I think sometimes the first Wall to Wall show that we all had black Perry shirts and blue jeans. That was kind of our image and we wore that. In the end, I suppose once people kind of knew us a bit, it didn't matter. But I always like it when a band kind of have this, a similar theme. I think it's good if you're somewhere and you can look in different places and know, oh, he's in that band, you know. Even if they're wearing a suit or they're wearing trousers and a shirt or something, black shirt and trousers in some cases, you know, it's there's an argument for both sides. But then there's a lot of people these days that just want to turn up, rock up and wear what they want to wear and make it a fashion statement and be have their individuality within the group. So I don't know what the right answer is. If you're doing corporate stuff, it's nice to all wear suits. I mean, the management, and I mentioned Bob last week, we sadly lost recently. When I spoke to him and his podcast, and the management believe in all wearing the same. They all wear a suit. And then the second half, they all come out and they've all got Hawaiian shirts on. They've pretty much all got the same shirts. And it looks good from an audience point of view. You're part of a group. You know, you wouldn't get a football team all turn up and one's got something, one's got blue on and one's got red on. You're part of that. You're wearing that strip. So some bands believe in wearing a strip in as much as you, I mean, you look at Kiss, they've all had the face. Yes, they had, let's not forget, they did have, you know, 13 years of not wearing the makeup. But in general, if you think about Kiss, the rock band, it's the white faces, it's the four images, and they've kept that the same since they started. So, but the Rolling Stones have always worn what they wanted to wear. Although when they first started, they all wore suits. The Beatles all wore suits. Freddie and the Dreamers wore suits. Jerry and the Pacemakers wore suits. So, you know, it's a tough answer. But I think if you're looking to do corporate, definitely get yourself some suits and get the same suit made. Right? Don't all one of you goes to Primark and one of you goes to M&S. Just find four or five suits. If it's black suits, get a nice black dress. If you've got a female in the band, or somebody who wants to wear a dress, you know, in the band. Oh, God, I hate this modern world I live in. But if somebody wants to wear a dress in the band, make sure it suits everything else or it's colour matched. In my case, when I work with Cheryl, we used to wear, for a little while, used to wear black jeans and a black shirt. She used to wear black jeans and a black shirt. And then I used to have a blue tie and she would wear blue shoes, or a red tie and red shoes, or a pink tie and pink shoes. So they were like the matching part of it. And it sounds really cheesy, but it was just something that we thought would look good on stage if we both had a very similar outfit on. And if she didn't wear that, she would wear a black dress or something that would work with, and her shoes would match my tie. It's cheesy and it's old school, but you got to look the part when you're up there. Ken and I in High and Dry for a while had black shirts and ties, white shirts, and I'd message him in the afternoons going, I'm wearing white shirt tonight. He'd go, okay. Now we don't. We turn up and we're smart. We're both smart. We know pretty much what the other one's going to wear and we can turn up and do it. But I think it's a nice little addition and it makes you feel part of a team. And if you're going to be a team, if you're going to be part of a group, you know, if you get baton twirlers or majorettes, they're wearing the same. You don't get one wear on the edge in jeans and a t-shirt because that's what they want to wear. So it depends if you want to come across as being a team or a unit, or you want to all be five individuals that all come together and play that music. It's really much personal preference. But for me, if you're doing corporate, you've got to look a little bit classier and you've got to have something that catches the eye where people go, well, it'll look good in those suits. It was nice. So it's your call, all right? I'm staying well out of it. Grassroots Music UK, in association with Innovation Studios, presents the ultimate one-day workshop for songwriters. Advice and analysis on songwriting techniques and methods, how songs are created, structured, recorded and produced. Tuition, analysis and guidance on how to make a great-sounding album on a bedroom budget, using recording software and digital audio workstation. Learn how effects and plugins work and the most effective way to use them. Mixing and mastering to CD, WAV and MP3. Adding album artwork, tags and songwriter info. Where to have your mastered CD copied in bulk for selling at your shows. How to upload your music to iTunes and digital media. Online radio stations and how to submit your music for airplay. Advice on venues, promotions, showcases and open mic nights in the area. To book a place and be added to the waiting list, please call 01702 836 649 or email innovationstudiosuk@gmail.com. Roger says, hi Marcus, what is the biggest distraction whilst you're on stage? Roger, how are you, mate? Biggest distraction whilst on stage. Well, it used to be, where shall I go with this? Where shall I start? Sometimes if you're in a particular band, if you're rock and roll band and stuff like that, sometimes back in the day, you used to sometimes get a little group of young ladies down the front and occasionally you might get a flash of a parts of their anatomy. And that can be a bit of a distraction whilst you're playing. And I would have said that was probably the biggest distraction, other than the spotlight being in the eyes, or I don't know, maybe somebody having a fight or a disagreement or something like that. But I will tell you that my opinion of that has changed. The biggest distraction that I have whilst on stage is somebody coming up from the audience and singing in my ear whilst I'm trying to sing the song that they're singing in my ear. And they are singing the wrong words at the wrong time. And I've got to keep on doing the damn job and singing everything where it should be. So it happens, people sometimes get a little bit overzealous and can't wait to come up and sing with you. And in some venues, you know, some of the venues I do that are away from cabaret, let's say, you know, care homes, day centres and stuff like that, that's fine. I don't have a problem with it. You know, as long as they don't try and sing on the mic, that's fine. They can come and dance with me, but they sing in my ear. The wrong words at the wrong time. And that is the major distraction. It's the biggest thing for me in the last few years that has really, I can't do anything about it. And I have to focus so hard on actually singing the song and not hearing them when they're literally, you can smell their breath, they're right in your face, singing loudly. And they're perfectly, you know, they're perfectly all right. It's not, you know, they know what they're doing. And I'm polite about it. But now and again, I've had to say to one or two of the people, look, can you just move him back a bit? Because I'm worried about him tripping over the microphone and hurting himself, which is kind of true. I don't want him to trip over the microphone stand and hurt himself. But what I really mean is, could you stop him singing in my bloody ear whilst I'm trying to sing this song? Because you're getting right on my tits. But if you say that, people think you're a bit of a diva for some reason. So you have to sort of go, oh, you know, stand back a bit, John, because I need a bit of room. But that's the biggest distraction. The other thing is people shouting out songs in between songs, or the obvious stuff like a waiter dropping a tray of drinks, you know, or sometimes it might be that another member of the band is making faces at you or saying something to you while you're trying to sing, come over and whisper, shout the next song at you. I try not to get distracted, but sometimes I do. You can't help it. It's when you've done this job for as many years as I have, sometimes you find yourself up there and you think, another 10 songs and I'm out of here. I think tomorrow I'll take the kids to the park. Wonder what park I'll go to. And then someone will come over and go, you sung that bit wrong. So, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. I was thinking about what park I was going to take the kids to tomorrow, you know. Because it's my job, it's what I do. And it might surprise you if it bursts your bubble that not every single time we perform we're absolutely desperate to give everybody in that room a good night. We're there to give everybody a good night, but I'm thinking about how I'm going to spend the money the next day. Well, I'll take the kids for an ice cream. I'll take them for a Rossi at South End. And then I suddenly think, oh, I was supposed to sing then. Oops. Better just pick it up. So that can happen. Anything can distract you, really. It's something out of the corner of your eye, maybe, you know, just a door that keeps opening and closing. You keep getting the light from the other side. That can be annoying. Sometimes, and I've had it, but only a couple of times because I like to make my point about it, but you might be singing a song and then somebody might grab a microphone and go, don't forget your raffle tickets you can get from. I'll be like, well, I'm trying to sing here, mate. And then I might, you know, I mean, that did happen to me once. And it was at a Mason's do, and I was about to, there was a young man who's on before me actually. And he was singing, and as he went to sing a song, the MC grabs the microphone and talks straight over him. Don't forget you can get your raffle tickets. And this bloke sort of looked at me. And then when I went to go on, I went and found this MC and I said, have you made all your announcements? And he said, well, I think so. I went, no, don't think. No. Have you made all of your announcements? And he went, why are you being like that? I said, because if you talk over me, I won't be as understanding as that young man was. Because if you need to make any announcements, do it between songs. Or ask me to do it. But don't just talk over him. It made him look silly. And maybe I was out of order. But I'll be honest with you, I don't care. It was rudeness. And I wasn't going to tolerate it. And he didn't. This young man was a good lad. And he was just trying to sing a few songs. And there was no need for it. So I collared him and I said, no, I'm not having that. That doesn't mean it has happened before. It happens in social clubs sometimes. I'm singing, you know, stop. Got to do your raffle tickets. Or my favourite is just before you go on, you know, one of the places I play, just before Marcus goes back on, I've got a couple of announcements. And sadly, Elsie passed away last week and the whole place went, ah. And her funeral will be next Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the South End Crematorium. If anybody wants to send flowers, you can send them to the local hospice. Can we just have, just all raise our glasses to Elsie? You know, God bless her and we'll all miss her. Anyway, listen, back to our entertainment for tonight. Please welcome back to the stage, Marcus. And I've got to go back on. And people are crying into their pint. And you think, that's a big distraction. So there are lots of things that can put you off. There are lots of things that can happen. Sometimes you'll be thinking about what you're doing tomorrow. Or sometimes you'll look at something. It might be a potential situation at the bar and you think he's going to kick off, that geezer. You can see he's getting a bit leery with the bar staff. Not my problem, but you take your eye off the ball for a second And that can happen in all, you know, in all sports. Goalkeepers have got loads of stories about the ball going through their legs. They just took their eye off the ball for the second and you haven't sung a line or you've missed where you are. Biggest distraction is life, I guess. Things that happen in life or the people that you're entertaining can distract you. But yeah, they were some of the biggest distractions. Last question for today. Let me have a little look going through. Here comes from Danny, and Danny is in Hornchurch. Hi, Marcus. How is the gig money best split? Well, it's very simple, Danny, I suppose. It can get complicated once all different members of the band are on different wages. All right. Now, that can happen. Some people will, not in every band, but in some bands, you go, well, I want 10%. Well, I want this. I want. But usually, if there's four of you or five of you in the band and you've all started in the band together, you split it five ways or four ways. That's what we used to do in the bands I've been in before. At professional level and particularly international level, the songwriter will always get songwriting royalties. So that's a different kettle of fish. But at our level, if you do a door split with a venue, for instance, let's say you sell 100 tickets at a tenner. So it's £1,000. And then the door split will be 80-20. So the venue will take £200. And that would be their money. Plus they get all the beer and everything. And then you've got four of you, £800 between four of you. Now, you've got £800. Then you look at it and you go, okay, so because we're playing in Manchester, we've got two travel lodge rooms. So that's coming out. That's 120. So that makes it 680. We've got two vehicles, £40 worth of petrol. So that knocks it down to £600. And then you look at it and go, right, that's what we've got left. So we've got £600 left out of a grand. So we bought a grand in, 200 to the venue, 120 to Travel Lodge, 80 to petrol. Drinks and stuff like that, that's on the individuals, really. And then you split that 600 between the four of you, £150 each. Some bands might have an established two or three members and then bring in a new member and pay them a wage per gig. So you might say to somebody, look, whatever happens, you're guaranteed £150 a gig. And then all of a sudden you go and do somewhere where you make a couple of grand. The venue gets £400. They're on 20%. So that's £1,600. You probably got £100 of petrol. That's £1,500. £150 for two rooms. Then £150 to that member, £150 to another member, and then whatever's left is split between the three original members. But you have to remember that depends on everybody's input, you know. I've worked with people before where they're the artist. They're the reason that the tickets are sold. So what happens is they'll take a particular amount and then they'll split the rest between the band, or they will agree a fee for you. What do you want to come and play for the night? On £200. So if they've got three members of the band, that band's going to cost them £600 for the drummer, the bass guitar player and the guitar player. The rest is on them. They can have the rest. We're on a fee. We've got our money for that way. But if you're a team and you're turning up as a team and you're turning up, then you know, if there's four of you in the band, it's split four ways, Danny. But lots of people find lots of different ways of, you know, working around that and splitting it all different ways. Split right down the middle, 60-40. Split it how you want, if you want, mate. If you get the money, pile in your car and drive off and leave the band and they never see you again. But you'll only ever play one gig. The answer, quick answer, is fairly. So everybody feels that they've done a job and been paid for it, Danny. But I hope you had fun with me today. I've had fun with you. And I'll be back next week, 5 o'clock on Fridays, the Grassroots Podcast. At the moment, it's Q&A, but you never know. I might just do an interview there or somewhere along the line. You don't know what you're going to get. Who knows? But for the foreseeable, I'm back and I'm enjoying doing it. All the best to you. Thank you for listening. I'll be back very, very soon. May the sun shine brightly upon you, and may you not be too burned. All right, yours in music, signing off. I'm out of here. Bye-bye for now.